Oh, hello there. And pretty soon, goodbye there. I'm Guy Branum, and welcome to the series finale of Pop Rocket, a weekly show picking over all the pop culture we love to love. With me now, and for the last 4.5, 5 years in most of the cases, like almost, I mean, pretty much since the beginning in another case, to talk TV, film, music, and anything else entertaining, our digital strategist, Winter Mitchell Rohrbaugh.
Hello,
hello. Hello, hello, Winter.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hanging in there.
Yeah. It's a day. This is a chunk of our lives.
I know.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's going to be rough, but we'll get through it.
Yeah. We've got journalist and novelist Margaret Wappler.
Hi there, Guy.
Hello, Margaret. Margaret, was I allowed to call you novelist before, like, when we did our first one?
No, because I wasn't a novelist yet.
But you're a novelist now.
It's true.
And we've got pop culture scholar and dyke about town, Karen Tongson.
I'm crying.
I'm crying.
Hey, Guy. Hi, Rocketeers.
A lot of people don't realize that Karen was neither an academic nor a lesbian when we met her.
Exactly.
She was a married insurance salesman from Dubuque, Iowa.
Not a dyke. Certainly not dyking about town as much as I am
she
now.
She left her husband, Brad, to be part of Pop Rocket.
And you know, honestly, I mean, you're hitting me right at the most vulnerable moment. Like I've been alluding to, because it's a silent thing women don't talk about, I'm hitting that perimenopausal stage. So probably if we were just recording a regular episode, I'd be crying anyway. Just FYI, that's a public service announcement.
So coming up on this week's show, we got tears, you guys. I am not the Oracle of LA, but I feel confident knowing that there will be these tears and more. Just ahead of us, the four of us will talk about the last 4.5 years and the time we spent with one another in this little metal box near, but not in, downtown LA. We'll hear from listeners and friends of the show. And of course, we will share our latest jams. But first, let's do it together. Let's find out what arts and entertainment news and events have caught our attention this week. Magwops, do you remember that episode where I called you Peggy the entire time and you didn't stab me afterwards?
At least you're not
Megan. I must have been in my polite stage still with you, because I usually stab away when somebody says Peggy. Or Marge. Yeah, endings. I mean, it's all on our minds. And for whatever reason, I think when something's happening in your life, like the endings are suddenly, the other endings that are happening are suddenly like all the more clear. I watched the Broad City last episode. I was late to it. And I had real resonance with what was going on with that show, because they were on the air about the same time we were.
Yeah.
Maybe they started about a year before us. And when they started, they were like these young, kooky girls in New York partying hard and also just like, you know, trying to find the last ATM that delivers $5 in New York and that kind of thing. And like, I so relate. That's been my life. I feel like the one thing that Broad City doesn't know yet, the two ladies of Broad City, is that you keep growing up. It doesn't, you know, the 20s are one stage of it, but you keep maturing, you keep getting wiser, you keep clarifying who you are, and it keeps happening in your 30s, and now in my 40s, and, you know, it was a really, I think they went out on a classy note. And I hope to see both of them really, like, take the world by storm. I still really believe in them, even though I think the show, like, got a little tired, you know, as it will. But it was really great. And so that ending just happened. And now the Game of Thrones ending is happening tomorrow. And I have my tribe of people that come over every day, or sorry, every week to watch that. And when I first started watching that show with this tribe of people, I didn't have a baby. I didn't have other things in my life. And it's just, there's a real marker of time there, you know?
Yeah.
And just like all these markers of time happening right now are so, they're just really hitting me. And, you know, I remember when we talked about the idea of this show, this very final show, is like Irish wake style, you know, drinking and being happy and just cheersing it out. And I do feel that, but I also just feel really fucking sad.
Yeah.
And I can't, like, you know, I guess it's the Irish wake where you laugh and you cry at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. I think what I'm all about.
Will someone please bring that bottle of Vuv in here, please? Producer.
Is there another one?
There are multiple bottles.
Great.
Karen.
Great.
What are you all about this week?
Oh, you know, I was having a hard time figuring out, you know, what the last all about would be. I remember before when I used to guest on the show, I'd get... Irish break. Tears and laughter. We probably have to edit some of that out.
No, we don't. This is real.
Oh, shit, guys. I was trying to be really hard.
I'm just trying to be like,
you know. I was trying to be really strong, and I couldn't look y'all in the eye.
This is strong. This is fucking strong. Like, we have to respect what this is, you know? Feel it.
That's so waffle.
So, anyway... When I used to guest on the show, like, I remember what the feeling used to be where, like, oh, I get this one thing that I get to talk all about because I wasn't here every week, you know. And thank you to Oliver for bringing me in and, you know, for opening this world to me. Like, I really appreciate it. Thank you for starting and kicking off those first couple of years and bringing me in here. But I used to really, like, ponder as the show went on and I became a regular panelist. It was actually, like... sometimes became a challenge to be like, fuck, am I all about something this week? Just like, it's so hard. You've got so much happening. And so from that moment of like total excitement and like really wanting to curate, I hate that word, but I can't think of a better one right now, something that I could share in that one chance I had, to feeling fatigued and to coming back and saying, okay, these all count. This sort of like the sensation of choosing the last all about was hard for me. That said, you know, I could have gone a number of directions. I know that, you know, we should have had a conversation about street food at some point on Netflix.
Yeah.
But I'm going to, as my all about, bring to you the lost artifact of the lost Pop Rocket episode, the one that we didn't get to do for you, my friends, and it's Gentleman Jack. And Gentleman Jack, for those of you who don't know, is an HBO show. It's Sally Wainwright's adaptation of the real-life diaries of Ann Lister, who's played by Saran Jones. And Gentleman Jack, the character, is a kind of marauding, capitalist, lesbian person of stature who has a kind of country estate in the United Kingdom in 1832. And she basically runs around challenging men, playing poker, swilling booze, smoking cigars, and seducing young heiresses. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, she, in many respects, I've heard a lot of blowback from some friends, like queer friends, who are just like, you know, it's really hard to like that character. She's so evil and kind of problematic.
Well, she's an uber capitalist.
Yeah.
I mean, like, kind of in the Trump mode, honestly.
Yeah. And she's against, one of the things is the show starts in 1832. She's against the suffrage bill of 1832, the Victorian Reform Act, which means
like
people can vote. Like, that meant regular people and not just the aristocracy
landowners, right?
And landowners could vote. Anyway, and so as in Vanity Fair piece, they're like, there are aspects of her character that are hard to love, Wainwright observed, but some people are going to be totally disappointed because she's not a feminist heroine by any means. She believed in her own interests, not women's. That said, there is something about seeing a Victorian era, like, you know, woman in her 40s just go, like, I don't know, stomp around and seduce women on their fainting couches. And you know, I really enjoy it. And the theme song is ridiculous, but it gets in your head. And for anybody who wants, like, some bodice ruffling, if not ripping, in a sapphic vein, I feel like, as the dyke about town, this is the last gift I give to you, Rocketeers.
That's beautiful.
Take that gift into your bosoms.
Yes. Yes. Bosoms galore.
Winter, what are you all about this week?
Last week was the final episode of Veep. I just found it really hilarious. If for nothing else, Selena Meyer, like, went out like she came in. And she pretty much didn't change at all. If anything, she got worse. but there was something really, really fun about watching the interplay between her and everybody else and sort of like burning things down in the very end. And I very much have done this through this entire process, and I don't care. There is something to be said about just standing in your truth and knowing how you feel about things. And for so long, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the Trump effect, but for so long, we've been so nice about things. You know, nice to other people and getting out of people's way and letting people sort of be who they are because you don't want to be impolite. And I'm tired of being a polite person. I decided in 2019 I have to start taking shit by the balls because people will take it from me. And this is a perfect example of that. This group that I've been with for the last 4 years has been, like I said last week, a constant. And I have learned more from these three people than I've learned from a lot of people. And one thing that I've learned from each and every single one of them that I'm going to do for myself is to grab that shit and go forward and not be scared and not have fear. And whatever happens, happens. And however it lays out, it lays out. I am tired of having my voice and my capabilities hindered because I'm being polite or I'm being nice or I don't want to get in someone's way or I don't want to make a fuss and then I suffer. So this is me saying that Veep and the end of this show, Pop Rocket, has afforded me a freedom that I never felt that I ever had before, and I have been pretending with freedom for other examples of that, and it hasn't been actual freedom. I feel free. And I hope that when I die and I have a state funeral in the in the Capitol, that I am bumped by Tom Hanks's death. That was the funniest thing ever. but I hope that I do everything on my own terms from here on out. And thank you guys all for giving me the faith and the support, even when I was a complete brat. And the Debbie Matenopoulos of this whole thing. And I love you guys. And I love you guys, Rocketeers, so much. And yeah, that is what I was all about this week. It was that or Jailbirds. Which is also really good.
Chin chin.
Chin chin.
Since we started the show, there's just been like that feeling when I find something and I'm like, oh, I get to bring this back. Like, it is just sort of like from the moment you see it or experience it, like, you know, like when the terrible gay show Looking came on HBO,
my
visceral gut response was, I'm going to make Margaret Wappler watch this. It was the thing I wanted most on the planet.
And she did do to
the fact that, like, every year when the Met Ball happened, every year when somebody did something that just seemed too impossible on social media, I knew that I got to come back and say, Winter, what the fuck is going on? It was something that I treasured so much. And right before we found out about the show, I did one of my favorite things on the planet, which is to go alone, stoned on a Friday night to a mass market comedy. And I went and saw Long Shot with Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron. Oh,
God. Actually, with them?
No, not with them. But just
starring them.
It was, and it was just so good in a way that a rom com hasn't been good in such a long time. And like just having that lovely feeling in my heart that I got to go back to the Rocketeers and be like, ooh, here's a like light and luscious like rom-com. I was so excited. And I just wanted to say how much I've appreciated the guys in this room and everyone who's listening for being there and being friends to share this stuff with. every week who were constantly bringing new stuff to me, and who, when I had something that I truly loved or truly hated, I could say, please look at this and then tell me what you think.
And none of you motherfuckers have ever watched The Americans, so.
I did. I watched the first episode. I liked it.
Which also ended this year. We're going out with some good, good things,
I mean, look, I never converted people to Borgen. I think I gave up on that before.
But you got a lot of people to see Force Majeure.
Yes, Force Majeure was so fucking
you
good.
You really did.
And Tormund Giantsbane.
Yes.
So I'm wrong. I'm sorry. We must all spill a drop for Oliver, who was here at the beginning, and also fucking watch Borgen.
He did watch Borgen.
I think he was the real champion of Borgen in the beginning.
And the LA Clippers.
You guys are listening to Pop Rocket. We're going to be right back after we get some more Kleenex.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks. Every week, myself and I'm Morgan Rhodes and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Welcome back to Pop Rocket. I'm your host, Guy Branum. With me in the studio are
Winter Mitchell-Warbaugh,
Margaret Wappler,
and Karen Tongson.
And this is our last show. Since it is our last show, we have decided to devote the entire hour to talking about the series finale of The Big Bang Theory. Now, a lot of people don't realize this.
I have never watched it!
But this
Kaylee
room is
Cuoco or whatever.
Full of bazinga heads.
Cuoco? Cucho?
One of the great shows.
One of the great.
Like, we started out like, oh, should we be talking about series finales and goodbyes and stuff like that? And the answer is no. We're just going to reminisce about this show.
We're too fucking narcissistic for that.
100%. Right. You know who we are.
And talk about our feelings and hear from some people who listened to the show and contributed in various ways to the show. I wanted to start out by saying, for last week's show, the Oracle of LA came and did readings for us. And I was just wondering what the resonance had been from you guys from those readings.
I mean, as I mentioned, I'm always really wary of these things, in part because I'm just so, I don't know, like I'm a spiritually skittish. That goes into my Tinder profile, spiritually skittish. But, you know, I think that talking through the devil card, which I received as an answer to my question about like, and hearing the oracle tell me, you know, listen to your desires, stay true, follow your true north, don't capitulate to temptations, to power. Basically, be a hobbit and don't be seduced by the power of the One Ring. Understand that it's a fellowship, that kind of thing. And that's, oh, in my mind, that has always been my ethos, but it's been, you know, like the hobbits themselves, they had to struggle with those temptations, and I just feel so emboldened to go forward and to do that, to practice that, to practice the thing that I've been preaching this whole time and to stay true. And thank you, Oracle. I'm like so grateful, and it wasn't scary at all after it happened.
I love it. Yeah.
I got the King of Pentacles during a Taurus moon, and it was just Taurus full moon right now. I always get the King of Pentacles, and I think that the King of Pentacles will always show up because it's taking the pentacles and poking me in the ass and saying, get to it, because time's running out. And not in that scary way, just in that way that I need to start thinking about time in a real meaningful, actual. And it's been like one of those interesting things that I've been thinking about like ever since I started this show. Like when I first started the show, I was late all the time. And I was going through a lot of shit. And lately it's been...
You've been early. You've been the first one here.
I know, but that's because I've had to think about time. And I've had to think about like, what am I doing with my time, affecting other people's time? And, you know, being... more considerate of that. And the one thing that I have learned just from sitting through that reading, which was really intense, is that it's just more important now than ever to really just stop and really take stock.
Yeah.
And honestly be more strategic about what I'm actually going to do going forward. And I think, you know, having something again like this show end in the way it has, as upset as I am, I'm happy about having the opportunity to do something else. And I think this was honestly like a kick in the ass to do that. So I felt like the King of Pentacles was like showing up again. What up?
Right. Like deliver like, on what you want.
Like deliver on what you want.
Amanda's as I said, she's a really dear friend of mine and I know her inside and out and she knows me super well. And I feel like the card that she ended up or I ended up picking, if it was with anyone else that I didn't know or trust as much as I trust and know her, I might have been like, fuck you. Like it was the Ten of Swords. It's like a pretty like intense card, you know. It's like a man on the battlefield getting stabbed in the back and like down for the count. And I think she framed it so beautifully that it's like, no, you did this battle and you're just exhausted now, and it's okay to be complete. You know, it's okay to like walk off the battlefield. And I think for me, you know, quitting something, stopping something is like not in my nature. Like, I really am tenacious and I hang the fuck on, and I will make something happen if I want it. And it was hard for me to walk away from this. It was hard for me to like give myself that permission. And her pull, and like I keep saying her pulling that card because I feel like she was the conduit for the spirit, but like that card coming up made me go, it's okay, Margaret, you can walk away. Like, you don't have to try to fix it, you don't have to try to mend something, you don't have to do like one more stab at it. You can just like feel complete and good in what you did. And that's a real gift because it's hard. Closure is hard, you know, like you can't. So many times in my life when something has meant to be closed, I've tried to sort of like creak it back open and like do something and it was the wrong thing to do. So, yeah, I feel really I feel so much that was like a gift to me to like just be able to say, OK, it's all right.
One of the things we didn't talk about on the show is Amanda calculated everybody's soul card for themselves.
Yeah.
And mine was the Hermit. And the minute I saw it, I was just like, well, that makes sense. Like, I don't even know what a soul card is, but whatever this is, it makes sense. And Margaret was very like, you should do a reading about that. Like, it was just, I've like been reading about it since then and just sort of thinking about the idea that like, the idea that that is my thing to figure out in this lifetime was really interesting. And then the card that I pulled being the Queen of Swords, just sort of like, this is LA. And like LA is so frequently about using words or ideas to get something done and just sort of thinking back in terms of just sort of knowing with clarity how I feel about things is an end into itself.
That's interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
I saw that for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, this has been 4.5 years. Like, a lot has happened. Let us talk about what has happened. Part of what happened for you, Margaret, is playing with trains outside.
Yeah, if you guys hear the occasional toddler cry in the background, it's because today I came with Silas and David because I felt like I really needed my family. This is one family, and that's my other family, and I needed all of it. I needed all of my reinforcements, and hearing him in the background actually makes me feel really safe. Like, going into this really emotional journey with you guys, it's scary, you know? There's a part of me that's just like, I mean, I said this last week, but I don't fucking believe it. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel real.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, that was one of the biggest changes for me during the show is, like, when I first started, I didn't ever talk about it because I didn't know how to talk about it yet. But, like, I was struggling to get pregnant. I was trying. I was going through all of these procedures. I'd come into a show having, like, shots in my ass, you know what I mean? And, like, wishing and hoping that this would happen and never knowing if it was. And then when I got pregnant, obviously it was a huge joy, but it was also like a huge boon in making this show where it was like my perspective just shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And like that, actually, when you write about or talk about pop culture, I feel like that's a real gift, you know, when you have something happen in your life, and it doesn't have to be good necessarily. That was obviously a really good thing, but like even when you go through a painful period, like you see art differently.
Well, like watching the letdown after you talked about the letdown, I mean, I never would have picked up so much of this stuff if I didn't have somebody who was going through the same experience talking to me about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example of a show that like I would have watched before with kind of alien eyes, you know?
Yeah.
Like obviously we all know what it means to like be a mom in the world to some extent, but you don't know the like the hour to hour kind of stuff, which is what that show covers so brilliantly.
Winter Mitchell Rohrbaugh, did anything happen in your life in the last 4.5 years?
No, it was so quiet and boring. It's interesting that you had a baby because I had an abortion.
Yeah.
And I had an abortion after I got engaged. And I, you know, everything that's going on right now, Georgia, Missouri, Alabama, fuck you. it's, you know, I thought about all the things that I watched and all the things that I delved deeper into. And like my fascination with horror, you know, my sense of entertainment got darker after that. Because I actually felt like, you know, I was struggling with making a decision that was important to me, for me. Yeah. I still don't regret it to this day, but I had to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, I look back and I wonder, did I think I was a murderer? And was I somehow trying to substitute those feelings that I probably should have been feeling of guilt with watching other random aggressive forms of violence? But at the same time, I got married. And it wasn't until I got married that I realized sort of like I appreciate him for allowing me to, not allowing, that's not the right word, for being willing to still stay with me after I did something like that to him. He can take it as much as he wants to, but it was for me. And there's was annoyance that I had with Alan because he's not like a book person. And the one thing that I've appreciated more than anything is that he's opened me up to like adult cartoons in a way that I never actually watched them, which makes me feel weirdly enough all the more ready to have a baby.
Yeah.
And wanting to have a family, because anyone as strong as he, you know, look, women are strong. Women do stuff all the time. So that's for the best of them. But, I appreciate having a husband who was like, I'm really unhappy about this, but I love you and I want to be with you, and has shown me this world where it's not so intense, you know? And I struggle with anxiety and I think about things very deeply and emotionally and passionately. And he's very much like, we're just going to sit here and watch Rick and Morty. And we're not going to say one word to each other. And we're just going to enjoy that. And we're going to watch Joe Bob Briggs on Fridays. And that's appointment television for us. And we're excited about it. And I think, you know, over the course of the last 4 years, the things that I've learned from you guys more, I've been willing to give Carly Rae Jepsen a try.
Great new album.
I'm totally like, you know, I'm willing.
You're totally lukewarm.
I'm totally. No, I'm willing to accept it. I'm willing to accept it, but I'm willing to think that there is something about that kind of music that makes you happy, and I appreciate that for you. because everybody needs to have their something. And Wappler and Karen, like, you guys are also, like, again, you guys are some of the smartest people I've ever met. And it's sometimes intimidating, and I'm hardly easily intimidated, but I've wanted to work harder by the suggestions that you guys have made. Uh-huh. Because, so yeah, because it's just, it was important for me. The last 4.5 years have been really hard, but really, like, fun in some moments, and also bittersweet and also kind of, like, heartbreaking. But besides falling in love, getting married, and you guys, those have been, like, some of the most positive experiences that I've had, that I've gained and learned from, for sure. I can, without a doubt, there is absolutely no misconception about any of those things. It was coming here and seeing you guys every week and hearing what you had to say, and then it was, you know, going home and having somebody, you know, make fun of me, but also, like, bring me back down from this, you know, he thinks I'm pious sometimes. So just, like, keep me grounded. So it's just been great to have this connection together and be together. And, yeah, I'm going to keep saying that without really any examples to set forth because there's so much to discuss.
Right.
I didn't get married. I didn't have a baby. But, like...
You didn't have an abortion either.
That we
know of.
Can I tell you, like, the best abortion joke
I
ever heard?
Yes, yes.
One time I was watching MTV. It was, like, the VMAs.
Yeah.
And I said, and they had, like, girls from Teen Mom. And I was like, they should make a show about the girls who did get the abortion. And my friend Eliza Skinner said, they do. It's the VMAs.
Oh, my God.
Wow. And that's also really deep.
Wow. It's also really so deep.
Yeah. Are we getting Silas photos?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I've told Margaret since, like, Silas was in utero, I do not care about infants. But once he got to, like, 2 years, then right. 18 months, 2 years, that's when I'm engaged. She has a lot of things to say about trans. I mean, like, one of the biggest things for me was just when I was trying to sell a book, like every comedian tries to sell a book, there was a book editor who had listened to this podcast and was like, you should not just write a memoir, you should write something that is also about pop culture. And, like, that was so good for me. It, like, really helped me make the book that I wanted to write. And then also being here in this room with you guys made me think about that stuff and take risks with honesty and with the shit that I talked about that I would not have otherwise done. And I appreciated that support and, like, guidance the whole way.
I like that you tweet when you're drunk more. I really think that's the hallmark of gay influencer luminaries.
It is good to work from a place of truth. And then the other thing is, like, I've never talked about it on the show before, but I have had a gentleman friend for the last year and a half, which is the first time.
Oh my God!
Drop a bomb,
the first time that this has happened in my life.
Gentleman friend.
And it's
gentleman caller.
It's not something. He lives in New York. He is not here, so it is easy to keep that sort of thing compartmentalized. It's. I'm bad at talking about stuff like that. I'm bad at sort of, like, understanding when to start taking like that seriously.
It is hard to know.
But he stays up far too late. And so consistently after every one of these podcasts, I would get on the phone. He never listened to the podcast, but I would.
Neither did Alan.
In excruciating detail.
David listens.
Let him know.
Sarah does too.
Everything that had gone down. What about you, Karen?
Wait, can I just jump in really quick?
Yeah, I know. Because yes. You're just like, I'm trying to skedaddle your way out.
Yeah, I know.
You're like...
Two things that I want the two of us to notice is that we both lost a parent while making this show. You lost your dad and I lost my mom.
Well, and also, thanks for setting yourself up for a compliment, Margaret Wappler, because I've said this before and I'll say that, like, I almost completely forgot about that, Margaret, but, like, the last lovely experience I had with my dad was because after a long time of my parents never sort of understanding anything that I did, he listened to an episode of the show that Margaret had suggested be about, was it 1969?
Yeah, 1965.
1965. It was 50 years beforehand. Yes. And like, it was like we had this moment of like connection that Margaret facilitated without knowing it. And it was like, he died very unexpectedly. Like, and that there was a thing within the previous 2 or 3 weeks that I could look to and be like, our relationship, which wasn't great, was always getting better. And I thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
I'm so happy that I could do just a tiny part in that development. Yeah. I mean, your book really beautifully lays out the complexities of that relationship you have with your dad. Yeah. But I also just think, you know, it's easier sometimes for other people to see change in you. Like, and I feel like I've seen you become more comfortable, like, in your emotions, you know? Yeah. I think, like, you've had a lot of pain in your life. You've had people strike out at you, including your dad.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you've built some walls up, you know? Uh-huh. And, like, I can see them kind of, they're starting to drop, you know? And, like, I just feel like you're more, like, available and open. And I just want to say that to you because I think it's beautiful. And, like, I'm just proud of you because it's, like, that's hard to do, you know, to have pain in your life. I mean, we've all been there. Like, we've all had pain in our lives and just, like, wanted to wreck that wall and just be, like, safe, safe, safe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I love seeing you more open. I love it.
There is no – I'm mad. But there was no way for me to be mad about you making a decision.
Uh-huh.
Like – yes, my immediate reaction to the both of you was anger.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said, Winter, vice versa, who was going to stop you?
Mm-hmm.
And why would you stop somebody from going to get what they need to do? And honestly, I wouldn't have thought that way 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I would have taken it way more personally.
Yeah.
And I would have just taken it more personally.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, when we first started the show, I went to your book a party, and I went to see you do lots of stand up, and seeing Karen in her natural habitat with all her really also influential lesbians.
I think power lesbians.
I didn't want to say power lesbians because that's so cliche, but influential lesbians I felt was a little bit more 2019. I just feel like wherever you guys are going, you're doing it now because you to feel like it now's the time, there's no delay.
Mm-hmm. It was, the thing that was so terribly hard about it is, like, it was never not fun to be here. Like, I never...
I mean, look, we're drama queens, but it wasn't like it wasn't fun.
No, it was like, it was always good, and it was always, like, good thoughts and warm hearts in the same place.
Yeah.
Which is really very nice.
Well, I mean, I always stayed true, even when you guys pissed me off, which sometimes you did.
Yeah, it's okay.
Like, yeah, that happened all the time.
But, like, I always stayed.
You should have seen some of our text messages.
Right? Just rage screaming at all of you guys. Get your shit together. No, but, like, I always stayed confident that these were, like, really good people.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, I haven't always had work experiences like that.
Nope,
like,
me fucking
like,
neither.
This person sucks, like, to the core, and I never felt that way. And, like, that, I don't know. Like, that's some real shit to
And
me.
I've worked with so many sucky people. So that's another thing that I'll miss is at least having understanding people.
It's true. It's something, like cousins. Something we all share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to say that, you know, as the Ringo of the group, came in a little bit later, in the cycle, I came to Pop Rocket basically as a guest within a year of, like, probably the most difficult year I've had to face in my life, where I lost 5 people.
Oh,
And really, really close to me. And I just felt like, you know, it was the true Annus Horribilis. And I couldn't, you know, just like, how am I going to get out of this? And I didn't know what I was doing. And I was sort of, you know, I had my job and my career and did these things, but it really breathed life into me and gave me new purpose to come and to realize, oh, I like talking to people who aren't just in the same rarefied circle that I exist in, the same, you know, I can pontificate. I have audiences. I can talk to students. I can talk to people, you know, I had enough people to chat to beforehand, but being in this posse comitatus, I guess I'm speaking a lot of Latin now.
I know. I'm like, is this ending a Catholic ceremony?
I know. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, to meet you guys and then what a thrill it was to then get asked to join you regularly.
It was a no-brainer.
I don't know that you're a Ringo. No tea, no shade to Oliver, but I would think of you more as a Michelle Williams, you know?
Yes. Durable, steady, consistent, yes. Available.
Deeply Christian. Deeply a lot Christian. Of people don't know. Well, yeah. Karen's very Christian.
Well, yeah. I'm crossing myself all the time. But, you know, so it like, came in and then, you know, like it gave me new purpose and it gave me so much energy and momentum to write the book that I wrote that just came out that is not for just scholars or academics, but for everybody.
Oh, you guys get why Karen Carpenter matters. Yes, it's so good.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then I got married while I was on Pop Rocket.
That's
you know,
right.
I got like
on my birthday.
On your birthday? On my anniversary is Margaret Wappler's birthday.
I mean, that means something. You know?
Yeah, I think it means a lot. And, you know, and it's also just sort of like, it's funny because, you know, last night we had a book event and Guy and I, were in conversation and you know Margaret was there and Swish was there and like and when we were leaving after having drinks Sarah said to me I hope that we get to see everybody
yeah
because she's like you know it's and this morning she woke up she's like I'm really sad that this is ending because mm-hmm. and you know and she's come in and she's been a part of the show and it's been really fun for both of us to come and do this with you and to go to Winter's wedding and to you know go spend Jewish holidays with Guy and to like hang out with Magwaps and like and you know and she's like I hope and I said it'll happen like you know we're going to be there we're going to talk to each other and you know we're part of each other's lives you know that inextricably even if this structure that holds us is gone we will build a new one
exactly
you referenced Swish but the one thing we do need to do while we're here is talk about the three people who you didn't hear well you heard from one of them kind of some of the time but are the producers who made this show and made this show possible along the way we started off with Colin Anderson who was a great guy with like a huge background in radio at the BBC and he really like helped come up with this show and develop it and like I had never experienced a podcast that like did practice episodes and stuff like that and it was you know, it was great to have his sort of like a guidance. Then we went to Christian Duenas, who was a former like Max Fun fellow, who was, you know, a LA Latino boy who came out of the closet, I think, while he was producing this show.
Love it.
And would periodically keep us keyed into to millennial stuff and video game stuff. And then our final producer, Laura Swisher, who got me my first job in TV. I've known longer than I've known just about anybody. And was like, it was so good to like have her in my professional life again. So just a huge amount of thanks to those people for keeping the show alive.
And we have a lot of other people too, who like really enriched our time on Pop Rocket. And, you know, I do think we've got some calls that,
yeah,
really
let's get
lovely
into it.
Fucking messages from people, and you know, and I think maybe because towards the end, we had one listener who's very like really expressive and so sweet and enthusiastic,
he's a novelist,
and it's Nick White, and we have a message that we want to share from him.
Dear ones, this is Nick. I just wanted to call and thank you for so many wonderful years of a podcast. You helped me through the final years of my PhD program and my first years as a professor. I'm going to miss all of you so much, and you've given me so much over the years, including having Tina Turner, my beloved head of my coven, win the first
right,
pop culture seal of approval. And I thought I would give you guys a gift, and since I am an English professor, I wanted to share a poem with you guys that has helped me get through many tough times, particularly times where things are ending and we're having to say goodbye and there are new beginnings on the horizon. And the title of this poem is For What Binds Us by the poet Jane Hirschfield. And I am tweaking the last stanza, changing the number 2 to 4, and it'll make sense, I think. There are names for what binds us. Strong forces, weak forces. Look around. You can see them. the skin that forms in a half-empty cup, nails rusting into the places they join, joints dovetailed on their own weight, the way things stay so solidly wherever they've been set down, and gravity, scientists say, is weak. And see how the flesh grows back across a wound with great vehemence, more strong than the simple, untested surface before. There's a name for it on horses when it comes back darker and raised, proud flesh, as all flesh is proud of its wounds, wears them as honors given out after battle, small triumphs pinned to the chest. And when two people have loved each other, see how it is like a scar between their bodies, stronger, darker, and proud, how the black cord makes of them a single fabric that nothing can tear or mend. Anyway, I hope you all go on to beautiful and wonderful things. I am excited to listen or watch or read whatever you do next. And above all, thank you so, so much for making the queen of my coven, Tina Turner, the first recipient of the Pop Rocket Seal of Approval. All my love.
Listening to that accent read a poem, that was like, I need that every night. I'll listen to your audio show, your podcast, Nick White.
Yeah.
Like
your audiobook.
When you put yourself somewhere, when you spend time with people, like that, it's like marinating meat. It changes who you are, you know? It becomes part of you. And like, I just want to thank you guys and say I'm so proud of having spent the last 4.5 years saying, like, an intentional choice in my week is to spend an hour and a half here in this, like, letting you guys be part of my life and trying to be part of your life. And everyone listening and all of that, like, it's always lovely. Like, I get to go and, like, tour and, like, see people in the Midwest who are like, we listen to Pop Rock and it's so much fun. But, like, you know, the people in this room are the people I actually see. Right. And, like, I think I've said this before, but, like, it was good to get to have other people listen. But, like, what I came back for was what's in this room.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, we've got so many sweet messages, but I feel like one of the things that I was, you know, am incredibly, I think, proud of even in the short time that I've been here is that, you know, Pop Rocket was a steady, stalwart show, and we have a devoted core of listeners, but there's so many things and other projects that kind of grew or sprang or, like, exploded because of appearances people made here or because they participated in part of the Pop Rocket family, and that includes, you know, Las Culturistas, Bowen and Matt, and you know, of course, Louis Vertel, who was hosting here for a long time, and I think there's, like, snippets of those messages from them here.
Hey, Pop Rocket, this is one-time Guy Branum substitute Louis Vertel. I just want to say, first of all, thank you for being the most consistent podcast I listen to. One of the most fun experiences of my life is filling in for Guy and talking to Winter and Karen and mainly Alonzo Duralde every week. There's something so rad about people who are obsessed with explaining how excited they are about pop culture, excited about expressing connoisseurship. I think we're sort of trained to believe that being a fan of stuff is just an indulgence we get. But you know what? Loving other things and loving other art is, I think, a part of functionality. And I was functioning at my highest level around you guys. It was so much fun. It was so easy. So with that, I am going to halt this message and catch fire in honor of Karen Tonkson. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you for being just the best.
And of course, like, we were the drag mother to another podcast that then caught fire and became wildly popular. Let's hear from Bowen and Matt of Las Culturistas.
Hi, Pop Rocket people. Hi, Guy. Hi, Winter. Hi, Karen. Hi, Margaret. This is Bowen Yang. I am calling in just to express my deep love and appreciation for all of you and what you've done over the years.
This is Matt Rogers. Thank you for really paving the way, bitch, for us baby pop culture podcast out there.
I remember you guys shouted me out way, way back after the season 3 premiere of Broad City. I remember Guy was just commenting on how, you know, Broad City was just this New York show that didn't know, that used all these comedians that Hollywood otherwise doesn't know what to do with. And then he just rattled off some names and it included mine. And then someone texted me that Guy name dropped me on Pop Rock. And that was kind of the first time that I ever felt like I had made it.
You know, whenever I was in town and you guys invited me on the show, I always felt so welcome.
If it weren't for you guys, our little podcast, Lost Culturistas, with Matt wouldn't be what it is today. And neither Matt nor I take that for granted.
You'll be sorely missed in my ears, but I'm still looking forward to whatever you guys do next. And I love ya. Mwah. Big kisses to you guys.
I love you guys so much, and I can't wait to see what's next. Bye!
And if Las Culturistas was our drag daughter, of course our drag mother was Pop Culture Happy Hour. Here's a little bit from Linda Holmes and Glenn Weldon.
Hey, Pop Rocket. It's Glenn Weldon from Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Hi, guys. It's Linda Holmes from Such Things as NPR.
The show that is proud to be, and will always be proud to be, your drag mother.
I think you have added so much to a world of podcasting that I am very much part of.
The conversations were smart, they were funny, but that's the low bar. They were also seriously engaged and spontaneous. You made me feel like I wanted to be in the room with you, and you made me feel like I was.
I will miss this show, but I will eagerly look forward to what all of you do in the future. I think you're all so special and fantastic.
So I'll always be grateful to Pop Rocket for that, and for giving me four people who I'm going to follow wherever they go, not in a creepy way.
I wish all of you so, so well.
I wasn't the only fifth Beatle in the house. I think that we had sixth, seventh, quadrillionth Beatles, April Wolf, Alonzo, and Dave. Thank you so much. They sent us these messages as well.
Hi, this is April in Los Angeles.
This is Alonzo Duraldi.
And Dave White.
I love you guys. I love what you do. It's so rare. It's so compelling.
Guy, Winter, Karen, Margaret, y'all are amazing. The show is extraordinary. We're so thrilled we got to be a part of it.
Your voices will be missed in the podcasting space more than you will ever know.
I have many things to say, but I want to cut to the feeling. For Pop Rocket, I would fight bad guys, employing only library books in the manner of John Wick 3.
No one is ever gonna rain on your parade.
I love you guys.
We had so many amazing calls from you guys. We appreciate it. We would love to play all of them. Here is a greatest hits highlight reel. But seriously, thank you to everyone who called in. Thank you for to everyone who was on the Facebook group. Thank you guys for being the real fifth Beatle, who were always bringing your thoughts and your hearts to this conversation.
Rocketeers.
Hi, my beloved Winter, Guy, Karen, Margaret. This is Rocketeer June in St. Louis.
My name's Ben. I am from Bedford in the UK.
It's Savannah from Montreal.
This is Thomas from New York.
My name is Susan. I live in Liberal, Kansas.
This is James coming out of Tampa, Florida. Kevin in Tulsa.
It's Margaret calling from Toronto, Ontario.
As a cis kind of, you know, heteronormative male who also moonlights as a professional wrestler, the aura of this show really invigorated me. The show has just been a great escape for me and a great teachable podcast, giving me different perspectives of what it's like to be a woman in media, a gay person in media, a person of color in media.
I think Guy said about his book that it was for loud, opinionated girls, and the show is too. I'm just a loud little bi girl who had to listen and learn a lot from all of you.
In 2012, I moved back to Tulsa from Los Angeles to take care of my mom. She got sicker and died last January. And then I found your podcast. And I wish I'd have found it sooner. But listening always made me feel like I was back in Los Angeles with friends who were smart and funny and knew what was going on, and it It really helps me through a rough year.
You know, I'm really going to miss you. I kind of feel like the only reason I had, like, cool taste at all in pop culture over the past couple of years was from listening to you and your, you know, really funny and smart analysis of everything. And
I just wanted to thank everyone on the show for being a ray of light in the middle of some very dark times.
I really loved hearing your different perspectives and loved that y'all were not afraid to have fun and actually go there. I love learning and laughing with all of you, and I will follow you anywhere that you land. I just love all of you. Thank you so much.
I want to thank Rachel Rosings for always understanding that I said her name, Rachel Rosings. And just accepting it as part of the game. I want to thank, like, Bryce for being the heart and soul of the Facebook group for the first couple of years. One of my oldest friends, Anne-Marie Brentrup, also for always repping on the Facebook group.
I want to make a special shout out to all the Filipinx listeners out there, baby, who sent me the sweetest messages or posted on Facebook and Twitter about the show. Christian Kiambo, Elaine Dolalas, and all the fine folks at T-Fall, the Filipino-American Life, This Filipino-American Life.
I thought it was T-Fall, the pan.
It's better than the pan. It's hotter than it. RJ Silva and so many more, but these two comments really touched me, and I just want to share them quickly. Lorelai Batisalong said to me, finding you on Pop Rocket has made me feel like I can claim my Filipino-American culture. I went to school being the only one, except for my brother, and I never realized how isolated that made me feel. I'm always surprised and amused when I find commonality in your experiences. I'm part of a community. Hearing you talk about being Filipino makes me proud. And I'm so grateful for that. And Jessica Costa, you totally read me here, because she's like, Jessica Costa says, as a queer Filipino-American, Karen's contributions made me feel seen in a way I haven't ever felt seen in media. When she talked about the Phantom of the Opera, I felt that.
With the cape.
The With music the cape. Of the night. Thank you so much. Maraming salamat sa inyong lahat.
I want to thank everybody who didn't like me at first and then learned to love me. Because I'm an acquired taste.
Well, all the best things are, you know? It's like as strong flavor Americans, yes. It is just the thing it of like, you got to figure out how to pair this baby.
Thank you. That's all I'm going to say is thank you.
The hottest of sauce.
I never tried to make you feel better about who I was. You just learned to understand that's who I am.
I have one thing to add to. The book readers.
Yeah.
our book club people. I love you guys. And you are we're a declining population, those of us who like to read old-fashioned books. And I hope you keep the fever. And I want to read with you. And I'm so happy about those of you who showed up to Neon Green readings around the country. It meant the world to me. And I will stay connected.
If we're all doing it, I would like to say to everyone, thank you for getting past all the likes and ums. Like, there was a lot of commentary about it, but this is a deeply California show.
Yes.
Like,
best coast.
Yes. Three of us, Californians by raisins. Margaret, Californian by choice, but I would
I was born out here.
Don't forget.
Right, that's right.
And also are, like, sort of the most Californian of all of
us. A little bit.
Must be true.
She's literally the cover of California Magazine.
But it was us thinking. Like, it was not us reading off of a page. It was us thinking and having real responses and interactions to each other. And if that involved some filler words or some pauses, calm the fuck down. This ain't NPR. We're doing what we can.
And I was always trying to look for a word that was long enough.
Looking for those 10-cent words.
10-cent words, baby.
It's all good. I mean, I'll just keep spitting Latin until the day.
All right, you guys are listening to Pop Rocket. We're going to be right back with one last jam each after this.
There's nothing quite like sailing in the calm international waters on my ship, the SS Biopic.
Avast! It's actually pronounced biopic.
No, you dingus! It's biopic!
Who the hell?
is that? It's biopic.
Because it's the words for biography and picture.
All right, that is enough. Ahoy, I'm Dave Holmes. I'm the host of the newly rebooted podcast, formerly known as International Waters, designed to resolve petty but persistent arguments like this. How? By pitting two teams of opinionated comedians against each other with trivia and improv games, of course. Winner takes home the right to be right.
What podcast be this?
It's called Troubled Waters, where we disagree to disagree!
Welcome back to Pop Rocket. This is formally and officially the last time I'm going to welcome you back to Pop Rocket. So you better fucking enjoy it, because I ain't welcoming you back to Pop Rocket again unless, who knows? I mean, Coach nearly came back. We got another series of Murphy Brown. Who knows?
I aspire to be like Coach every day of my life.
I'm your host, Guy Branum. With me in the studio are
Winter Mitchell Rohrbaugh.
Margaret Wappler.
And Karen Tongson.
And every week on the show, we've been asking this question, what's your current jam? So I turn to you, Winter Mitchell Rohrbaugh, and I ask you, what is your current jam?
I thought of this, and this has been playing in my head all week. And it's basically my theme song for the rest of 2019 and beyond. It is Sid Vicious and all his milky, drugged up,
nasty,
angry, but just whatever, just the state of whatever state he was in, performing Frank Sinatra, a cover of My Way.
Way.
That was so good.
Margaret, you got a jam?
I do. Final jam. I went through a bunch of different songs. Cried at a bunch of different songs. I actually think I'll probably like put it on a Spotify mix and share it with you guys, just my emotional process. But I ultimately settled on a song from George Harrison, because so many times we compared ourselves to the Beatles, and I always felt like I was the George Harrison. And in
general, God, you are.
It's true. And like in general, I really relate to him. Like there's some intensity he has, some kind of broodingness, some kind of like all of his mindfulness and India journeys and so forth. Like I feel it. And this is a song of his that really is sweet and touches down to my soul and definitely is the way I feel about everybody in this room. That like, you know, there were times that I was down and I was feeling sad and I'd come in this room and talk to you three people and I'd perk right up. And David would notice it. He'd be like, oh, thank God you went to Pop Rocket tonight. And also the listeners, like, there were so many times that I would say something on the show and I'd think, well, why did I say that? You know, or like, I didn't necessarily connect with what I had said. And then somebody would tweet something at me or somebody would say something on Facebook and I would think, oh, that was the right thing to say. You know, that was the right way to feel. And like, it just helped to have that affirmation. So thank you for being there.
If not for you, babe, I couldn't even find the door. I couldn't even see the floor. I'd be sad and blue if not for you. If not for you, late at night.
It's hard.
I know. Over and over again, hard.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Karen, what is your jam?
I am a secret, like, latter-day emo person. Not so secret, perhaps. And so the song that I'm bringing to you is a little bit trite, but it's one that has always been really resonant to me in times of transition and growth. And it gives me a lot of different feelings. And it's by the Postal Service, and it's called Such Great Heights. Tried my best to leave this all on your machine, but the persistent beat, it sounded thin upon listening. That frankly will not fly. You will hear the shrillest highs and lowest lows when the window's down, when this is guiding you home. They will see us waving from such great heights.
Very post 9/11 like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
From Such Great Heights, baby.
Thank you guys for all of the music. Like, seriously, like, that Can song from years ago, like.
That was the very first jam I played.
It was?
Yeah, I went back and looked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Can, Vitamin C.
Because it was, like, there was so much stuff that you guys, I wasn't sold on Carly Rae when Karen joined the show.
Oh, God.
You know who we've never been sold on? Taylor Swift.
Oh, I've been sold the entire time. Knee is a shitty song, though.
And I think that, you know, I think Guy and I shoved Taylor Swift down your throats at some Pop-Tart Awards at some point.
That was great. Look.
We've given her begrudging respect.
Yes.
I've brought consistently dorky music to the show. There's nothing less true in my final gym. Like, did I consider For Good from Wicked? Absolutely. instead, I went with, about 500 years ago, Shakespeare wrote Oberon's last speech from A Midsummer Night's Dream, and then, archfaggot Benjamin Britten turned it into an operetta, and then Baz Luhrmann made a Bollywood reinterpretation of that operetta and put it on that stupid CD that had the sunscreen song, and it's the best, and let's listen to it. Trip away, you guys. Trip away, Rocketeers. You have been here for our stupid little, you know, machinations and dramas. We have loved having you here. But now you get to go away and you get to find culture and make culture and have opinions about it and tell each other about it and tell us about it. You guys don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. but you're also going to die eventually, as we all are. And so,
way to leave them with optimism, guy. Yeah.
No, like the greatest optimism is like, go
seize it
with this field you consecrate. Like, let's go bless some beds, you guys. I want everybody to go away and make magical things. I know that it's going to happen. And I know two people in this room are making a magical thing.
Well, I know, Rocketeers, that a lot of you have been saying you're willing to follow me in winter to various places. And I hope that you're ready to come join us, because when this show drops, we'll be recording our pilot for a new show called Winter.
Waiting to Exhale.
Waiting to Exhale. And for those of you who want to know what that is, it's a woman of color driven show revisiting the pop culture and transformative social issues that defined Generation motherfucking X, baby. So we're not going to be your slacker dude mumble fest. We're here to give you the best of the forgotten generation, what you may have forgotten about your own generation. And so follow us on our socials, and we'll share on the Facebook group where to find this magnificent and magical new iteration of us.
And we're really excited, and I'm excited to bring you guys Winter at 40.
Hell yes.
Winter Unplugged.
Winter Unplugged after dark.
I always said the best thing about podcasts is being able to hang out with my friends without having to schedule lunch.
Right.
And knowing that I will be able to have the two of you in my ears every week will make me very happy.
Thank you.
We'll be exhaling with all of you. And you might see some special guests occasionally who are familiar.
Yeah.
You have, for the past 4 to 5 years, been listening to Pop Rocket, hosted by me, Guy Branum, with
Margaret Wappler,
Winter Mitchell-Rabah,
and Karen Thompson.
And for some of it, a lot of it, Oliver Wong, who we miss and celebrate. Our theme music, as it has been the entire time, is Party Booby Trap by Ozzy Mizzo. It took me nearly 2 years to be able to say that name on the first try. Thanks to him for letting us use it. Thanks to everyone who ever gave us 5-star reviews in iTunes. If you haven't already, please review us. I don't really know why. Now Margaret's health belongs to her insurance company, I guess.
Oh, guys, don't leave that to Blue Shield, Blue Cross.
No, please don't. Please
stay in touch with us and learn about all of our new projects on Twitter. We are Karen Toxin
at Inland Emperor,
Margaret Wappler
at Margaret Wappler,
Winter
at Winter Mitchell,
and I'm at Guy Branum. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we're at Toxinator, at Guy Branum, at Margaret Wappler, and at Winter. Swish, get on in here.
I'm going to be the disembodied voice from outside the studio. Wait, am I even showing up?
Yeah, I see you.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
I can hear you.
Yeah. All right, now I'm emotional. I know that you guys are going to go on to do some great things, and it's been such a pleasure to work with you guys and have you in my life. And I know that, like, it's been tough with the show ending, but I truly believe that, like Winter says, like, yeah, I think this is going to be, like, good, because I think we've all sort of, like, hit the end of this road, and it's, everyone's, like, just about to flourish into the next chapter. And, yeah, I just love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you for Swish.
Swish, swish, swish. One last time. Yeah.
Thank you.
Swish, swish.
thank you.
Thanks to everyone who has listened and supported this show. It has been an honor and a pleasure being part of your lives. But please remember, just because the show is ending doesn't mean you have to stop giving us 5-star reviews.
See us in the streets. I want 5 stars. I mean, if you see me at the airport, throw me 5 stars. Pin it on my jacket.
Nothing else, I think it helps the Apple Corporation. And yeah. I mean, this trade war is probably not great for them.
Exactly.
We're a production of MaximumFun.org, and our senior producer is Laura Swisher, that lady who was crying more than I've ever seen her cry.
Yeah, that was new.
In maybe 20 years of knowing her.
That was new.
Don't want this to end.
We love you guys so much.
We love you, Rocketeers.
So much.
We love you.
It's a wrap. Thank you all.
Thank you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.